Ever wonder about what it takes to maintain and clean a cemetery? Well, today's your lucky day because we're going to consider the challenges of upkeep and highlight an opportunity to take care of your local cemetery. To do all that and more, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Dave Fleming, Legislative Director of the New York State Association of Cemeteries. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Thanks. Great to be here again.
So what are some of the recurring maintenance and preservation needs that cemeteries need to address on an annual basis?
Well, so one of the most significant challenges when people think of their local cemeteries, their local nonprofit cemeteries that are run by volunteer boards who have to hire out lawn mowing and that sort of thing if the board members themselves aren't doing the mowing and trimming and all of those other things. So those costs keep going up every year, and it becomes extremely difficult for these small nonprofits to operate. And they are clearly nonprofits under the statute. They're state regulated. They're heavily regulated. And they face pressures just like any other business would as prices continue to increase. So they're relying on a mix of volunteer labor and these contracts, and they're always looking for folks, even particularly this time of year, to help with spring cleanup as there's a lot more damage. Getting that cleaned up makes it more affordable for them to maintain the grounds. But, you know, they face the challenges like any other business where costs continue to rise, and how do they do that? And they really can't do it if you're a small rural cemetery without volunteer assistance.
Well, in addition to the annual and even weekly upkeep that we might think of, whether it's the spring cleaning or just keeping the lawn mowed, are there bigger projects that cemeteries have to take on, whether it has to do with upkeep of stones or other or more capital-oriented projects?
Sure. So there's certainly stone cleaning and maintenance. So dangerous monuments are covered in regulation and statute, obviously, that cemeteries have to deal with. So that those are big expenses, believe it or not. And also, that's a great opportunity for volunteers. We have a number of programs across the state where cemeteries are training with historians proper ways to clean historical monuments within a cemetery and kind of bring those historical stories to life. But aside from just the practical things of a gravestone that you would think of, it's extremely difficult to deal with roadways. You have many aging roadways, just like a municipality. Any of the practical things that you would think a town highway department would deal with, a cemetery is also dealing with. So their job is quite complex, actually.
Does winter create unique challenges for cemeteries in New York State that cemeteries, say, in Florida might not have to deal with?
Certainly. So just trying to do a burial, you can imagine being in Western New York or Buffalo in the middle of winter and still conducting burials. There are all sorts of operations that have to be put into play so that you can actually help these families with these winter interments. So there's a whole lot of even just grave location can be challenging in 3 feet of snow, and being able to maintain the roads to get the families in there safely with other gravestones that you may not see under the snow. There's a lot involved in the process of just actually doing a winter burial. So there are a lot of challenges for upstate cemeteries in particular.
Well, aside from the revenue that a cemetery might be able to bring in from actually burying someone, what other revenue streams are there?
Pretty much none. As regulated nonprofits, dealing in a commercial sphere with for-profit interests who want to do as much as they possibly can related to death care, over the decades, it's limited the revenue sources that cemeteries have available to them. And cemeteries are not only significantly regulated in how they operate, they're regulated in the things that they can sell, their prices are regulated, and their general operation and inspection is regulated by the state of New York. So they're heavily regulated, have very few revenue sources. And one of the biggest challenges that they would face is with increased costs for maintenance and operation, out-migration in particular from upstate New York, and a shift in societal beliefs on interment of human remains, you have a decreasing revenue picture for cemeteries, which becomes incredibly challenging. Like any other nonprofit, like a Boys or Girls Club or something, they're supposed to operate in perpetuity, not only under statute, but in a societal contract is what we expect a cemetery to be. When they cease operations, they become the ward of the municipalities in which they're located. So the taxpayers pick up the cost of actually operating and maintaining a cemetery. So we work to make sure that doesn't happen, even with the really limited fiscal picture that they have.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with David Fleming, Legislative Director for the New York State Association of Cemeteries. Well, you mentioned the revenue streams, and one new service that cemeteries could potentially begin operating in New York is for lack of a better word, human composting as the result of a new law that was adopted here in New York. What's the status of that rollout right now?
We have been through the general rule promulgation process. Department of State put out their proposed rules. There were a number of comments, some very practical ones, and I know that New York State Association of Cemeteries provided a number of proposed changes just to make the process, I think, work better based on New York is very different compared to other states that is that have implemented natural organic reduction, NOR. And so those regs were out. Comment periods closed. We're anticipating Department of State's going to release their final regs. I don't believe they're going to be publishing again for additional changes. So I think we're in the home stretch, and there are a lot of cemeteries across New York who are very interested in providing this service. And certainly we have a lot of families who have expressed interest. And I toured facilities in Washington State before this was implemented here in New York. There were already people from New York who were in the natural organic reduction process in Washington State. So one has to assume that those remains will be here soon, even without our process being up and running in New York. So we need to be prepared to address those, but also be able to move forward as quickly as possible when the final regs are out.
Do you anticipate this will result in new demand for cemeteries as people move away from having their remains turned to ash?
You have a cemetery in every community, so they're very responsive to the needs of folks in their community. And we've seen a real shift in back to traditional burial and natural burial and memorial forest areas within our cemeteries. So very much more, simplistic services, plain pine boxes and just burial without monumentation, that sort of thing. I think natural organic reduction goes hand in hand with that, and I think there are other things that are going on the horizon in the next 10 years on how we're going to handle remains in a different way that are going to be appealing to the public, and cemeteries hope to be a part of that.
So pivoting, can you talk a little bit about the trust fund that's available for cemetery operators and explain the status of that money?
Yeah, we had a general trust fund a number of years ago that everyone was paying in, whether they knew it or not, for every burial and cremation in New York. And a former administration started sweeping that trust fund like they sweep all the other funds into the general fund. And we made an effort to have that be a dedicated fund like many other folks do. That was vetoed, I think, maybe not just once, but maybe twice, not surprisingly. But instead, an annual appropriation has been put forward, and that's grown from $900,000 to $2 million a year. It was $2 million in this current fiscal budget. I think it's an appropriate fund for cemeteries to apply to deal with dangerous monuments, for municipalities to apply to deal with cemetery abandonments. Keeping in mind, I think we talked about some time ago, the largest abandonment in state history, which happened in the town of Plattsburgh and the town of Ellenburg. That cost the state $2.5 million, so more than one appropriation for a fiscal year. So the money has been available. We're always looking for more money for that fund because it's clearly being used as cemeteries age, and municipalities are being required to take over more and more cemeteries as they fail. So we're looking at that, but we're also talking to the legislature right now and our regulators about amendments to our trust fund regulations to be able to access more income from our trust funds to be able to utilize that money for the general operation, maintenance, and upkeep of cemeteries as a way to prevent municipalities from having to incur those costs if they were to take over the cemeteries.
Well, looking ahead, April 27th, this Saturday, is Caring for Your Cemetery Day, which is going to have opportunities for volunteering around the state. Can you talk a little bit about this upcoming event?
Yeah, I just want to commend Secretary Rodriguez, the Secretary of State for New York, who is, since he's been in office, has done social media videos and other things associated with cemeteries and regulation, and trying to bring people's understanding of how important cemeteries are to our communities around the state and the valuable service that all of the volunteers provide who operate these cemeteries. And so I want to commend him for doing that. He's initiated this program all across the state. We have almost 30 participating cemeteries for the first time. And those are just the official cemeteries that'll have cleanup on April 27th and mostly in the morning programs. And people can volunteer for a few hours to make a real difference locally. But there are many cemeteries who are informally participating, and those involve veterans groups and Boy Scouts and other community organizations who are helping cemeteries not just for the spring, but prepared for Memorial Day, which is one of the busiest days in cemeteries across New York.
Why is it such a busy day?
Well, it's a busy day because there is obviously a lot of community organizations that are celebrating Memorial Day, and you know, there are veteran sections within those cemeteries. Not unsurprisingly, also in May, the busiest day that there is for cemeteries, Mother's Day, believe it or not. We see a lot of cemetery traffic, folks coming in to pay their respects, and cemeteries have a lot of programs to do community outreach during that time. This program for Saturday is a really great opportunity to help cemeteries get a jump start on their spring cleanup and look great for the families that are going to come in and remember their loved ones. And you know, the association is really proud of the work that they do with working with the state and with families that they serve to really make a difference. And it's not just for today, but it's forever.
Well, we've been speaking with David Fleming. He is the legislative director for the New York State Association of Cemeteries. David, thanks so much for visiting us in the studio.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
And if listeners want to learn more about caring for your cemetery day, they can email cemeteries@dos.ny.gov or call 518-474-6226. That's 518-474-6226. And for more Capital Pressroom content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capital Pressroom is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.